This is April 7th, Watching the Movements of the Mind.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that this is sinking into your consciousness, that you're starting to believe this. It is an absolute must. I don't know how to put it any other way than to say this is one of the most important things you can do for yourself, to bring yourself to that realization that you truly are God. You know, with evolution going on, it is our destiny to develop and develop and develop till we discover that we are God. That is the whole thing of being on this plane of action, of learning and so forth. You must learn that you are God, or that you are becoming God. That you are becoming God. Now, how does one become God? Very easy. We become like God by behaving like God. So start behaving like God. And that's what you can understand that metaphysically. If you start to behave like the person that you want to be, you will become that person. So if you want to become like God, you must start behaving like God. What does that mean? Learn to think God thoughts after it. Learn to say to yourself, how would God handle this situation? And then start doing that. Because we're destined to do that. That is what our destiny is. That's what everyone wants to know, what their purpose is. Your purpose in life is to realize that you are becoming God. That's your purpose in life. Not being an actor, not being this. Those are other things that you do and that you can accomplish. But the main reason that you're here on this plane of action is to keep going closer and closer to the idea that you are God. And then you can start manifesting stuff. I have a card I'll read tonight first instead of last. At the level of the soul, humans have exactly the same essence of God. In essence, humans are like God. We're exactly like God. Our essence is that. We have the same abilities that God has. You can't say that you came from God, that you're a child of God, and think that you're lacking God qualities. You're not lacking God qualities. You already have them. Now we have to start believing that, and we have to start behaving like that. And that's the problem, isn't it? The world doesn't behave like they're anywhere near becoming God. But we have that choice. We can do that for ourselves. We can become God. We already are. We just don't know that. So you have to keep convincing yourself of that, and you have to keep behaving like that. And you have to keep doing things that God does, like forgive. That's all God does, along with making all things new. But when you forgive, you make all things new. So, if you want to advance in your consciousness, it has nothing to do with spirituality, people. You're already as spiritual as you're ever going to get. But you have a choice now. Do I want to do this? Do I want to behave like God? Or do I want to behave like an idiot? It's always a choice. And you have that choice. So let that be there for you. Andy, will you read this? And pass it on, please.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
I will not allow my mind to tell me lies.
And I will not allow my mind to tell me lies. What do I mean by that? What is this statement saying? We allow our mind to lie to us all the time. And we believe the lies that the mind tells us. We also believe the lies that other people tell us, and we certainly believe the lies that the world tells us. You see, the world is not going to tell you that your job is to become God. It's not going to tell you that. It doesn't want you to know that. It would lose its power over you. So it's not going to tell you that. But your own mind, we're going to talk this whole month about your mind. And the movements in your mind and what's going on in there that you can learn to stop, you can learn to change, and you can learn to think the thought that you want to think. That's the most important lesson you can learn. I say many times I'm going to give you the secret to life. Well, this is one of the big secrets to life, learning to control your thinking, learning to think the thought that you want to think. Big one. But we allow the movements of our mind to take us here, there, and everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere. How many people listen to their mind and it says horrible, mean things about you? You're not good enough. You don't have enough. You don't do this. You don't do that. If you were better looking, things would come to you, yada, yada, yada. Whatever the mind, they're all lies. You must realize that you're already whole, complete, and perfect. This little part of our mind called the ego is always going to keep you separated, not only from this thing we call God, it's going to keep you separated from your true self, because it does not want you to realize who you are. It doesn't want you to do that. It wants to keep telling you lies. It wants to keep upsetting you all the time. So when we learn to become what I call a witness to your thinking, or detached, when you start to realize that you are not your mind is yours to use, and that thoughts are always going to be coming in and out, in and out. You do not have to act on any thought. Now see, the most amazing gift that we have is the power of choice. We can choose every moment how we wish to be, how we wish to feel, and what we wish to think. But we are not taught that. And we allow all kinds of other stimuli to come into our minds and set up a chain reaction of so forth. So, learning to watch the movements of your mind, to listen to what your mind is saying to you, is the only way that you'll be able to change it. You will become aware of what your mind is doing to you. I've told this story before on myself, and I'll tell it again because it's a very good example of the mind. Years ago, before I had a prosperity consciousness, I was in, I believe it was Macy's at the time, in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was looking at shoes. And a pair of shoes that I wanted at that time was $650. I loved those shoes. I thought they were wonderful. My mind said, Dallas, you cannot afford that. Who the hell do you think you are? Do you think you're John D. Rockefeller? No one in your family has ever had a pair of shoes like this. You don't need a pair of shoes like that. And just kept going on and on and on. So, I walked out of the store. I did not buy those shoes. But all week I thought about that. And I knew that that was a tape running in my head. And I knew, who the hell do you think you are, was my father. Who the hell do you think you are, John D. Rockefeller? You know, money doesn't grow on trees. So I went back the next Saturday and I bought the shoes. And the man said to me, I'll never forget, how would you like to pay for these? And he said, would you like a store credit? And then he looked at me and he said, you know, we can put this, $650, on what's called a major purchase. I said, what does that mean? He said, it's the exact same thing as buying a refrigerator. Say, a big item. Shoes. So I called them my refrigerators for when I wore them. And I think at that time, it was only like $25 a month to pay them off. But I bought them and I paid them off. Why? Because I didn't want that tape going on inside of me any longer. That tape does not go on. Nor do I have a desire for a $650 pair of shoes anymore. I don't have the desire for that. But I broke that. I stretched my consciousness. I knew that I had to do something or I would never, never build my prosperity consciousness. And that's the movements of your mind that I'm talking about. You can call them tapes. You can call them all the little things that go on, that internal conversation. Some people call it the yama yama that's going on inside of your mind. You're always going to have some of it. But now you're going to be able to look at it and stop it and say, this is nonsense. You're telling me a lie. You see? My mind said, Dallas, there's no way in hell that you can afford those shoes. But that was a lie. It was an absolute lie. I did afford those shoes, and I paid them off. That's the next thing. You cannot build a prosperity consciousness by going out and buying something and then not paying for it. That does not build a prosperity consciousness. And it's not good for you as a human being to do such things to yourself. Everything that you do is registered in your mind and in your body somewhere. It's registered there. You know, we can't get away with anything. And you can't get away with anything in consciousness. So you have to be up, honest, and above board with these things. But any tape that's going on, any of the movements that are going on in your mind, you can decide what they are going to be. You see? I'm delighted that that tape's gone. I have learned to rid myself of any tape, any movement that I don't want. I get rid of it. That's the choice that I have so that I can learn to think for myself. All the stuff that was in my mind came because I was a puppet to my conditioning. Came to me because that was the type of family I grew up in. And I'm never putting down my family, by the way. I have very little bad to say about my family. I'm here because of them. And I honor them because of that. Tons of things they could have done better. They didn't. Does not bother me. And the older I get, the more I realize the responsibility that my mother and father had trying to raise children in the world. So you have to give people credit when they do things like that. And of course they made horrendous mistakes. But I got over all those mistakes. I got over all the mistakes. I never blamed my parents for anything. Never blamed my parents for anything. I don't blame anybody for anything. I take full responsibility for what my life is. I never go back. A movement of the mind takes you back and pinpoints how that happened. You don't know if that's right or not. Don't let your mind do that to you. I had a client today. He went back to the sixth grade and told me all about it. I said, what does that have to do with anything? Well, that's when I started to feel this way. I said, you were in the sixth grade. You were 12 years old. You're almost 30-something now. Don't you think it's time you give that up? You cannot keep going back blaming something in the past. The past is gone. Nothing you can do. Can you change the past? No. But you can change your perspective, which happened. You can learn to forgive those people, and you can learn to forgive yourself. And as we grow in consciousness and in age and with some wisdom, we realize, they had a difficult time also, you see. Difficult time with things. Now, as many little things like who the hell do you think you are that was put into me when I was a child, I also learned, and I've told this before, I would not be alive today and be healthy if I didn't have my father said to me, Dallas, God will never give you a burden you cannot handle. Never give you a burden that you cannot handle. If he did nothing else for me, that I remember. And he did lots of things. So, that helps. But any of the other things that are in there, I get rid of. I let them go. He also said, don't judge somebody till you've walked a mile in their shoes. I think that's an old Indian thing. So, do I judge them? No, I've never walked in their shoes. I have no idea what difficulties he was going through. And when I look at it, I think, my God, what a responsibility. He had a wife, a house, and two children, and he was working. And he worked to pay for all that stuff. That takes a great deal to me of courage. I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, if somebody said, here, take care of this child, I'd probably... Not only that, think of the money that it costs them to think of the money it costs parents to raise a child. Now, people say, well, they wanted children. Well, that's all well and good that they wanted children. They still have to pay for them. And when you pay for your child, you're denying yourself something. Unless you're, you know, billionaire or something. So, please, don't allow the movements of your mind to go back and dig up all that stuff. And digging up all that stuff won't do you one bit of good. The best is to forget it and then start building a new consciousness for yourself and realize that they did the very best they knew how to do. And you can now benefit from that. You can now benefit from all the things that you've learned. Instead of blaming somebody else. And they probably told me, well, not probably, they did. A lot of negative things. But I've learned to get rid of those also. I've learned to get rid of those also. So we don't want to pass that stuff down. I don't want to pass anything I have down to the next generation. You see. Otherwise, I'm carrying it from one generation to the next generation. You don't do that. In families, constantly, it's just passed on. The hatreds, the jealousy, the bigotry is passed on and on and on. You know, who remembers South Pacific? Do you remember the song, You Have to Be Carefully Taught, with the bigotry and the hatred? A child has to be carefully taught to do that. And a little sideline about South Pacific. After it was written, the playwright, the play, I think it was Lerner and Lowe, were told to take that song out. It would ruin the show, that people would be offended by that. And they stuck to their guns and they said, no, we are not going to take that out. If you take that out, you have no show whatsoever. They left it in. And because they left it in, South Pacific won a Pulitzer Prize. It would not have won the Pulitzer Prize if that song was not there. Because that song was so important. But you have to be carefully taught. So we are carefully taught everything. Along with the good, we're carefully taught all the bad that our parents thought. You see, how many people pass on fears to their children? See, I'm afraid of this. My mother was afraid of this. I'm afraid of this. How do you know you're afraid of that? Because my mother was afraid of that. You're not your mother. You're not your mother. Don't do that to yourself. Learn to use this thing, this brain, this mind, to think for yourself. To think for yourself. So these movements that I talk about, you have to see how the mind works, how it attaches things to you. And it's usually, you have to watch and get to laughing, it's the ego mind doing this. I have a friend staying with me. He never closes a door correctly. It's always half open. I can tell exactly if he's in a drawer because the drawer is never closed completely. It's just... Now my mind does a lot with that, you see. I could yell and scream and carry on. So I just go around and I just shut it. I might forgive him and forgive myself. I just shut this. Crazy mind movement. So I'm in the living room. He opens up a drawer to get something for me. And I hear him close the drawer and I say to myself, "Oh, he's finally learned to close drawers." He went somewhere and I looked at the thing and of course it was not closed. It was not closed correctly. But what is correctly? You see? Now, the movement of my mind said, "See, you were right all along, Dallas. He never will close a door. He will never learn, yada, yada, yada." That's a movement of the mind that I don't want. I allow that to go. Is it that important when you get upset? Is it that important that the drawer is closed? To me, yes. To him, no. So I can do it. If I want it closed, I'll close the thing. But to get all upset, let your mind get all upset, that's the ego at work. That's the ego at work inside of you. Until we're able to control that ego, we will not have happy lives. Because the ego is going to constantly point something out that's wrong. And it's always going to point something out that's wrong about other people. So we want to learn to see what our mind, or hear what our mind is saying to us and what it's doing to us. And then we can get to laugh. I got to laughing over this whole thing about the doors. I saw what was going on because I detached myself enough that I could see what my mind was doing. Who cares if the door is open or closed? Doesn't matter. It's not earth-shaking. There's very little in life that is earth-shaking. We just make it so. We build it up in our minds. We build it up in our minds. Each and every one of us does the same thing on some level. And it becomes a little game, a little habit, whatever it becomes. We have to be able to correct that. If we don't, we'll never be happy. We'll never be happy because there's always something wrong. That chair is out of place. Who cares? Who cares? There's more things to think about than little things like that. Than little things like that. So, think what you're saying in your mind. What is it telling you all the time? Is it telling you that you're whole and complete and perfect? Is it telling you that you have the power to do anything that you want to do? Or does it tell you, no, you don't have the education, you don't have this, you don't have that? Those are the lies you allow your mind to tell you. Those are the lies you allow your mind to tell you. And in this day and age, everyone wants a degree and they want this, that, and the other thing. A college education is just a convenient way of collecting knowledge. And it's a concentrated way of collecting knowledge. But you can get a degree in life, your own self, by learning for yourself, learning to do things. Just because you have a college education does not mean that you know what you're doing. But what always amazes me, we went to the ministers. They have all the education to do this, that, and the other thing. Does anyone know the college that Jesus went to? Do you know the college that Buddha went to? Mohammed? None of the great spiritual leaders came from college education. But they tapped into knowledge. And that's what you want to do, is tap into knowledge and tap in to the innate knowledge that you have within you. If we make that statement, you're living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God, then you have to have access to that mind. That mind is an all-knowing mind. It's an infinite mind. So we have to be able to use that and bring that knowledge into us so that the infinite is coming down to the finite. And then we're letting God work through us, to work through us. Everyone is waiting for God to do something. God's always doing something. But God can only do for you what it can do through you. What it can do through you. And that's what you want to do. That's what you want. The only way to get what you want in life is to become that thing. The only way to get what you want in life is to become that thing. If you want to be an actor, you must become an actor. If you want to be a doctor, you must become a doctor. If you want to be God, you must start to think God thoughts after it and start to behave the way God behaves or the way you think that God behaves. See? That's the only way it works. But it all boils down to controlling your thinking and watching the movements of your mind. What is your mind saying to you? What is your mind saying to you all day long, from when you get up in the morning till you go to bed at night? It has to be saying something wonderful about you. It has to be telling you what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yeah. I've had two clients that have left me, and then they've been away about 2 years. One called, completely out of money, completely out of this, down in the dumps. Come see me. Why? Because they stopped knowing that they were wonderful. They stopped knowing that they were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they mattered. Both of them, one's a man, one's a woman, both of them completely forgot. This teaching evaporates, erodes very quickly because the world is so convincing. You do not have to come to me. You can go anywhere you want, but you have to take this teaching with you, and you have to think about this teaching all the time. Otherwise, those old movements of the mind come right back in again because you're used to it. You're used to it. It becomes a habit. And once something becomes a habit, sometimes it's difficult to break that habit. So you want to set up a new habit for yourself. You want a habit that you know that you're worthy and deserving. You want a habit that you know that you're whole, complete, and perfect. I asked the man, I said, are you still doing mirror work? Oh, no, I haven't done that in 2 years. Mirror work is you look in the mirror and look into your eyes and say, wonderful, wonderful me. Wonderful, wonderful me. You have to do that. And you use the eyes because they say the eyes, the wind is to the soul. But you look in your eyes so that this will penetrate and it will get in there. Then when you do that, you watch the movement of your mind. When you say, wonderful me, does your mind say, oh, you're absolutely right? Or does it say, oh, who are you trying to kid? Get a grip, you see. You have to do it till you stop that movement. Till you stop that movement of mind. People forget it or they give up. The mind is going to fight you. You've got to know that. But you have to know that you're stronger. You have to know that you're stronger than your ego. But the ego is very convincing. The young man forgot that he was not his mind. He forgot that his mind is his to use. When I told him that again, he said, oh, I forgot. And this boy takes copious notes. He just takes notes. And I worked with him, I bet three, four years. And he took all these notes and he had everything down and everything was running smoothly in his life. Then he went out and allowed the world to take it away from him. You can't do that. I mean, you can do it. But at least he's back. I said, pat yourself on the back. You're back here again. You want to learn again. Every time you start over, people, with anything, you become stronger. If you want to break a habit, you can't break the habit. As long as you start and the next day you're back on that habit again, stop again. Every time you stop, you become stronger. It took me 20 years to stop smoking cigarettes. I stopped and started many times. But I kept at it. I didn't say, I can't do this. I didn't say that the cigarettes, the habit, was stronger than I am. Oh, I might as well give up. I'm a weak person. I just kept doing it. And it builds up a reserve inside of you. It builds up strength inside of you. And one day the habit is gone. Habit is gone. Now, when that habit is gone, any of them, the smoking, the drinking, or anything, your consciousness changes. Your consciousness changes. I never go back and think of when I was smoking or say the cigarette was wonderful or any of that. I am not that person anymore. I'm not a smoker. And I never think about smoking. When I gave up drinking, I never think about drinking. It's not in my consciousness anymore. The consciousness that was doing that and the person that was doing that is no longer exists. No longer exists. So I never think about it. I never go back to the past and reminisce and say, oh, I would like a cigarette after a meal. I remember how good they were. I hear people saying that all the time. I don't remember that, by the way, that they were so good. I don't remember anything, except I'm glad I don't smoke now because I saw a sign which said a carton of cigarettes is $45 and some odd cents. $45 and some odd cents for a carton of cigarettes? Oh my good God. I could never bring myself to spend that much money on a cigarette. When I first started to smoke cigarettes, they were only 15 cents a pack. When they went to 25, I almost had a conniption. So think of those things, but learn what's going on inside. When I said I was giving away the secret of life, this is absolutely the secret of life. You have to realize that this is a mental world that we live in. And it's your mind that's causing everything. And your mind doesn't want you to know that. The ego part of your mind doesn't want you to know that. So it keeps you busy. It keeps you busy concentrating on religion. It keeps you busy concentrating on spirituality. It keeps you concentrating on church, and you think you're getting somewhere. You're not going to get anywhere with that. And if you think you're going to spend your life in heaven, if there is such a place, because you went to church, you're going to be mighty fooled about that. The only heaven there is the heaven in your mind. You have to bring peace to your own self, and then you'll find heaven, or nirvana, if you want to call it that. You will find it, but it's inside of you, and it's done with your mind. But yet the world and everyone wants to concentrate on something outside of their mind. There's nothing outside of mind. You cannot change anything on the outside of life. You may think you're changing something on the outside of life, but unless you have changed your mind, your consciousness, you're right where you started. right where you start. So learn, there's nothing wrong with loving God. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But it's not going to get you where you want to go. What's going to get you where you want to go is learning to love yourself and learning to watch the movements of your mind. What is your mind saying to you? I can't afford that. That's a lie. You can figure out a way to afford anything. Raymond Charles Barker wrote a book called The Power of Decision, and he said once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. It's the decision that counts. It's the decision that has the power. Why most people get nowhere in life is because they cannot make a decision. They cannot make the decision. There's nothing wrong. And why people are so afraid to make a decision, it's either going to be right or it's going to be wrong. And if it's wrong, you can change it, for goodness sakes. You know, I make decisions that quickly. Didn't you think of it? No, I'm not thinking about that. I'll make the decision. If it's wrong, I will find out all practically instantly. But I don't do all that analyzing till I become paralyzed with it. Analyzing and analyzing, going over and over things, makes everybody immobile. And we're talking about movement always. You have to keep moving. Your mind never stops. It moves all the time. Life never stops. It moves all the time. So now you have to watch it and see in which direction you want it to go. What do you want for yourself? Everyone wants peace of mind. You cannot find peace of mind if you are unable to control your thinking, because it will come in. Every little worry, doubt, fear will come into your mind to destroy your peace. It will destroy your peace. So what do we know about that when we're worried and so forth? Well, Jesus said it won't add a cubit to you. A cubit is a measurement instead of an inch. I don't know exactly how big a cubit is, but it's a measurement. Remember, he was a carpenter. I did things in cubits. Worry and all that stuff will not add anything to you. And why are we going to worry and do any of that stuff when we have this thing what we call God? You have to know that this thing called God is taking care of you. Is taking care of you. Once you know that and really know that, it will take care of you. Always take care of you. How? I don't know how that happens. But I use it all the time. You know, I don't take care of myself. I have not the slightest idea how to do that. Not the slightest idea. But I'm cared for. And I have everything that I want and need. So something's doing it. So I say thank you and I let it go. But the mind wants to tell you that you have it all to do. I have all the work to do. I never say I have all the work to do. I know that God is on my side helping me with everything. Everything. And that's watching the movements of my mind. And my mind wants to tell me that that isn't so. I talk my mind out of that. You have to talk to yourself all the time. No, that's not right, I say to my mind. I'm in charge here. I will make these decisions. I will make the choice. I don't let my mind make a choice for me. Why would I do that? Your mind has never been your friend. It will never be your friend. It has never brought you any good news. The ego part of your mind. So watch. I'm sure you have all heard of the internal dialogue that's going on inside of you. And you've accepted that because psychiatry in the world talks about the internal dialogue. Well, there is an internal dialogue going on inside of you. What they don't tell you is that you can change that internal dialogue. You see, most people think that the dialogue that's going on inside of them is them. Is them. And it's not. So you have to change that. You have to see what your movements are doing. What your movements are doing. I'll tell you a cute story about a Christian family that I know. This Christian family got very upset with one of their relatives. And every St. Patrick's Day, they send out a flower arrangement to a friend of theirs with his relative's name on it and theirs. This year they were mad at the relative, so they sent it without its name. They sent it without. That's allowing the movements of your mind to make you mean, hateful, and spiteful. That was mean, hateful, and spiteful. They think that they were justified doing that. Does that make sense to you? They think they were justified, and they can justify it. These are people that practically live at the altar. So you can't let your mind do that to you. They immediately assumed that relative didn't want them, they didn't like them, they weren't going to do this, and they couldn't control that relative. So, off flowers went without the relative's name on them. All because they weren't watching the movements of their mind. Of course, those particular Christians I'm talking about have no idea that they could become God. That would be blasphemy to them. Would be blasphemy. But know that for yourself, that that is what is occurring, that you are moving forward because of this thing called evolution, also because you're always moving from your good to your greater good, and because you have that essence of God inside of you, and that essence is growing and growing. Each and every time you remind yourself of that, and each and every time you start to behave like God by asking the simplest question, how would God handle this? You're growing closer to that destination of God. When you're not doing that, you're pulling back from that. So, that was just that example of the Christians there. Shows how petty we are. That was just a petty little jealousy thing that they did, thinking that it was quite all right. And they're probably never thinking about that again. They probably didn't pray about it, and they went to church that Sunday, and everything was hunky-dory. Everything is not hunky-dory. Your mind will not forget that you do things like that. It's building your character. It's building your character. So you have to decide, what kind of a character do I want to be? What kind of a character do I want to be? Now, if you look at this and think about becoming God, and if everyone in the world would start to think this way, the world would change. It would change drastically. See, we wouldn't have all these wars. We wouldn't have all this stuff going on. We would know better. At the present moment, we don't know any better. So, we continually repeat history. History's not here to repeat. God never repeats anything. God makes all things new. God makes all things new. We're the ones who keep repeating things, making things worse instead of new. Yes. So the movements of your mind are very, very important. What is your mind? How is it moving? In what direction is it moving? What is it saying to you? I think I first should have started by telling you, you must always have your mind in your body. And most of us, our mind is somewhere else. Before you do anything, remind yourself to bring your mind back to your body. What do I mean about that? If you're sitting here thinking what television program is on tonight when I get home, you've left this room. Your mind has gone someplace else. I left the iron on, or what am I going to do tomorrow? You have left the present moment, and your mind has left your body. So you have to bring your mind back to your body. Good way, and wonderful exercise to bring your mind back, is just touch the arms of the chair and say, I'm in this chair. I'm here now. And your mind will come back to you. It will not go this way and that way. But the mind is always going to be moving. So you have to watch the movements of your mind. You have to watch them. Very important, and this is, should be taught constantly. It should have been taught when we were in grade school or before grade school. That we are not our minds, that it's a mental world that we live in, and that we can change anything. We can change our thoughts, we can change our viewpoints, we can change our opinions, we can change our perspective. Everything can be changed. And we say, oh no, that can't be, the mind says. You have to. If you want to find peace, if you want to find fulfillment, if you want to find these things in life, you have to learn to control your thinking. You have to learn to control your thinking. And I've said this, I don't know how many times, and I say it not only for your benefit, but also for my benefit, because every time I say it, it goes into my consciousness. And that is, you must learn to think the thought that you want to think. And you must learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. Now, do you remember when I told you that feelings are the life of the organism? This young man said, oh, yes, that's absolutely right. And I felt so much hate. I felt so much this. He felt all those negative things. They were the life at the time of him, of the organism. I said, what have you forgotten? What have you forgotten? He was angry with his brother, his girlfriend. Wasn't trustworthy. All this stuff was causing all this hatred and so forth. And they were causing these feelings. Now, he thinks he was completely justified having those feelings because, this happened, so therefore I can feel the normal response to feel angry. What did he forget? He forgot he had choice. Just because those things are happening, you do not have to feel angry, jealous, hate, or anything. The life of the organism is feelings. So if you know that, don't you want nice feelings going through you? But he thinks the life of the organism means all these negative thoughts. Yes, it means that too. But you have choice. You can stop the negativity. And you can start having positive thoughts about yourself. It's as easy and simple as that. I have, let's see, this card. The process of destroying ego is not a moral decision. It is a down-to-earth, hard-headed, practical. It is down-to-earth, hard-headed, practical, because it leads to happiness and fulfillment. The process of destroying the ego is not a moral decision. It is a down-to-earth, hard-headed, practical, because it leads to happiness and fulfillment. Yet we listen to our ego all the time. The ego cannot bring you happiness. It cannot bring you contentment. Because the ego is never satisfied. You cannot satisfy the ego. The ego will say, I want you to make $10,000. As soon as you make the $10,000, your ego said, that's not enough. Now you have to make $20,000. It will never stop. It will never stop. The ego will just keep going like that. The only question is, am I like God yet? Ask yourself, am I like God yet? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you think it's wonderful? Mm-hmm. To know that you can not only get close to this thing, God, you can become God. You can become God. And that is a reality. That you can do that. You can do that for yourself. So start behaving like that. Start behaving like you think God would. Instead of like all the other human beings that you see out there. So it's easy to say, well, everyone acts that way. Everyone acts that way. Everyone except you. You don't have to. Then if you start doing it, and she starts doing it, and I start doing it, we can build to everyone is moving in that direction. To the belief in that. It can be no other way. You have all the essence of God inside of you. All the essence. You are made in pure love by God. So, I used to use the example, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Meaning God is the tree. You're the apple. Well, what's inside of that? The apple is not the tree, right? But is not the tree inside of the apple? Are there not seeds in there that will turn right into the tree? So, you will turn right into God. Because you have all the essence of God. You have all the ability of God. You have all the creativity of God. But you have to watch the movement of your mind that tells you that that is not so. You have to stop believing the lies that your mind is telling you. And you certainly have to stop believing the lies that the church is telling you. I just read something that I think is horrendous. The Archbishop of New York, I can't remember what his name is at the present moment, made a big statement about homosexuality. And he said that would be like sleeping with your mother. Horrible, nasty thing for any educated person to say, especially a religious leader. What does that do? There are so many, and I never knew this, young, impressionable people struggling with their sexuality, and they're prone to suicide. And when they hear comments like that from an authority figure, from the church, oh my God, the archbishop's against us. That means God's against us. Therefore, we must be no good. We must be bad. We might as well kill ourselves. Hateful means spiteful to do that. Do you think that that archbishop is God yet? He's not even moving in that direction. He's not even moving in that direction. So, it's always going to boil down to your mind and what you are thinking. Put simply, what you think about, you bring about. So if you think God thoughts after it and you think about God, you're going to become God. It's as easy and simple as that. But it starts in your mind. There is nothing but mind. They used to say, oh, you mean mind over matter. It's not mind over matter. It's always mind over mind. Everything is mind. It may look like matter. It may look like a chair. But it's mind. So you have to control your thinking. You have to control your own mind. When you do that, you will find the peace that you are looking for. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you. Yay.